Broadcasting from the west side of Big Brother City in the heart of Gridlock County, where preaching with impact is like plowing pavement. As people continue to place their hope in unsatisfying things. This is the Frederick Faith Debate, sponsored by Putman Plumbing and Heating. How can we make you smile? BMC Insurance and Cruise Holidays. We're online at WFMD.com. Just type in the keyword faith. It brings you right to the Faith Debate page. There you'll find links to podcasts of this show, news items, and the ever-popular Faith Debate blog. My blog is your blog. Email me, Troy Skinner at clearchannel.com. That's T-R-O-Y Skinner at clearchannel.com. I spell it because sometimes people don't know what my first name is. I don't know. I've been doing the show for like 9 years, and they don't know what my name is. Anyway, whatever you send me, I'm going to post. I might do some minor editing, but pretty much whatever you send me, I'm going to post. 45 blog updates a week, 9 a day, Monday through Friday. Do the math, 9 times 5, that's 45. I encourage you to pop in and see what people are saying. And if you aren't really an internet guy, you're more of a Twitter sphere guy, you can follow Jonathan Switzer at Switzer Jonathan. Why do I tell you that? Because Jonathan Switzer is a senior pastor of Crossroads Valley Chapel and the co-founder of the Faith Debate Program. And he is seated across from me right now. I'm just out of reach of harm's way, so I could say some really bad things about him right now, and he couldn't do anything about it, but I will save that for later, because he's up to some good works this week. We'll give him a chance to talk about that in just a second. And being patient while Jonathan talks about that for just a second is Dr. Harpal Mangad. He is representing Sikhism. But before we get into Sikhism and Christianity, and we're going to talk specifically this week about the crucial distinctive between the two, and that is the work and person of Jesus Christ, because that is going to be the crux of the matter, right? So, like, these were crux.
Yeah, there. Yeah, I'm following yeah. that, yeah.
All right, so this week, today is the, what is today, the 22nd, I believe?
Yes.
So we're like 4 days away.
That's right. Frederick48.org. We did this last year. We did it 2 years ago. Raised $30,000 the first year, raised $300,000 the second year for the top 26 nonprofits focused on the three highest priorities in Frederick, those that are most hurting in Frederick, that is at-risk youth, those that are overwhelmed by medical bills, and those that are either homeless or on the verge of homelessness. The reality is that we all know people that are in these populations, these groups, and we are working just with those nonprofits that are focused on helping those particular groups. And the beauty of this this fundraiser is that you decide which one of those organizations to give to, but we all work together to make sure that these needs are met. And so you go online to frederick48.org, and you give to whichever organization you think is best positioned to meet those needs and or most represents what you think those people need the most. And then you go and tell everybody that you know to give as well. And by doing so, what we're hoping to do is start a movement of people. We're hoping to sweep into the pool of people that give to these organizations more than there were last year. The organizations that participated last year had a 24% increase of their donor base as a result of Frederick 48. And that was one of our biggest goals, was to find a way to sweep new people in. You can do it all online. You don't have to go anywhere. We have next to zero overhead for this event, right? It's all being done by word of mouth, by a website that is donated. And so it's really an awesome way for us to come together as a community.
If everyone in Frederick County gave just a dollar, we would be close to what was raised last year.
That would be a dollar per person.
If everybody within the listening range of this radio station's broadcast signal were to give a dollar, we would crush last year's number, which was over $300,000. According to the Arbitron ratings, if everybody who listens to this radio program, this show, the Frederick Faith Debate, if everybody listening were to give $100 and do it right now, we'd raise about $400,000 right now.
Just like that.
You don't have to wait till Thursday and Friday to give. You can give now. Go to frederick48.org, frederick48.org. Maybe you can't afford $100, but I'll bet you know somebody who does. So if you can't afford to give $100, pick up the phone and call somebody and say, Dr. Mangad, I know that you're a wealthy doctor. I know you can afford $100. why don't you go online and give $100 for yourself and give $100 for me because I can't afford to. So you give $200.
And I'll tell you, Dr. Main is a very generous man. He's very committed to his community here in Frederick.
I'm jesting. I'm not trying to put the doctor on the spot. But, I mean, these are attainable goals. We start talking about we want to make raise hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars or whatever.
That's right.
These are attainable goals. They really are.
Every dollar that you give will be proportionally matched by funds that are being raised that are direct proportion match funding. So every time that you give a dollar, it's not just a dollar, but it includes a match. It's not a dollar for dollar match. And actually, we won't know until everybody gives what the proportion is, because there's only so much of the matching funds that will be available. Nevertheless, every dollar that you give will not just be a dollar. It will be a dollar plus whatever portion of the matching funds that has been raised that will go to the organization that you think is best positioned to receive those funds.
And it's totally tax deductible.
Totally tax deductible.
And it's a chance to prove to the world, if you are conservative in orientation and a majority of this audience is, it's a chance to prove we don't need the government. In fact, we don't want the government making these choices and doing these things for us. We can and should do them ourselves. The government gets involved when we don't do it ourselves. This is a chance for us to do it ourselves.
And if you're on the other side and you're one of the four one of the 25% that listens to this show that is from the liberal side, you know how frustrated you are that the money has been cut by the commissioners, and this is a great opportunity to show them that this is a high priority to take care of these people.
So that's the we'll maybe revisit this really quickly at the end of the show if we have time, but right now let's transition from Frederick 48 to something of eternal, not just localized present-day concerns, but eternal consequence, and that is what happens to us when we die, what's the purpose of life, why am I here, is there a God? And we've had this panel together, the good doctor and Jonathan have, and this is round four, this is a fourth show, and we've established that both of you, Sikhism and Christianity, you both represent the idea that there's one God, that we need to treat our neighbors right, we need to work hard, do the right thing. And if we do the right thing, good things will happen in a general sense, at least.
We have a lot in common.
A lot in common. But there are some differences. Some of those differences were highlighted last week. There's a difference, a different idea of what happens when we die as far as eternality and judgment. There's a difference about whether or not humans have the spark of the divine within them, or whether that they only have divine within them when the Holy Spirit is sent at conversion to Christianity. So there's some differences there. The Trinity, Sikhs don't believe in the idea of the Trinity. Christians obviously do. So those sorts of things. We haven't talked in any specific sense about Jesus. My understanding from the little bit of homework I tried to do to figure out what Sikhs believe is that Sikhs do acknowledge that Jesus Christ is a historical figure who actually lived. Is that correct?
That's absolutely correct. As a Sikh, we give respect to every other faith and their beliefs. And we respect that Jesus Christ is a historical figure. We respect the fact that he is a faith-based organization and a faith-based principles, and we acknowledge a lot of similarities in what he preached, and what's also within our faith too, as well.
So, the idea of respect is an important one. In that idea of respect, is there a willingness to? One, obviously, there is a willingness to acknowledge differences, but a willingness to share why you would think that it's better to not believe in a savior as opposed to why I would believe that it's better to believe in a savior, right? We're recognizing that we're neighbors, that we're not going to go out and kill one another over these things. We're not going to treat each other in business, wrong because of these things. So we're good Americans. But that being the case, are you willing to kind of dig into why not have a savior?
I think the key essence is to understand the historical perspective of where Sikhs come on other faiths. As I said to you before, we have given up our blood for other faiths. I'm not sure how many other faiths have done that. Guru Tegh Bahadur the ninth guru championed the Hindus in Kashmir and finally offered his life in Delhi to champion that because he would not convert into Islam. So we are taught to be open about other faiths and respect them.
Which is similar to what the Revolutionary War was all about. We were saying freedom of religion is a top priority for everybody, right? And so
sure, I mean,
people died and gave their blood to say that people, you know, a Jew, a Muslim, a Buddhist can all worship according to their...
That concept of freedom is a very good analogy because as Sikhs, we have had our traditions and a very strong military traditions, and we've always fought for freedom. Yeah. In World War I, the British Indian Army came to the Somme, and a lot of people died there. And the hospitals built in Britain to commemorate those Sikhs. My own grandfather fought in modern-day Iraq and won 2 medals.
Okay, so all this is areas where we are in agreement with one another.
Correct.
In fact, I guess what we're saying is that we believe that it's worth shedding our blood to protect another person's freedom to believe according to his conscience.
Correct.
Worship according to his conscience.
Because you've used in the cycle of shows we've done, you've used the concept of respect and that word respect a few different times. One of the things that Christianity is sometimes accused of is being disrespectful, judgmental. You know, there's one way to the Father. There's one way to be saved from damnation, and that's through Jesus Christ. And it's a very exclusive claim that people like to beat Christians over the head with. Would a Sikh think that exclusive claim of Christianity is inherently disrespectful and not open-minded enough?
Well, it depends on the context it's used. I mean, the whole point is we would like to have an openness in dialogue. But the thing is, if the viewpoint is always fixed, then how can you have an openness in dialogue?
Sure. This is the problem with anybody that's dealing with absolute truth. And Sikhism seems to have a concept of a overriding transcendent truth. And so both you and me struggle to not look like we're just dogmatic to those who want to throw God out and kind of discover their own truth about things, right? And so, again, that's a similarity. But I'm still asking a question, and maybe you're just not comfortable going there. And if that's the case, then, you know, I guess we got to accept that. I guess. How nice was that, you know?
I guess we got to accept that. I can figure out some way to worm around it, and then we'll not accept it. Is that what you're saying?
Right, yeah. No, so I'm being honest about my desire to draw this contrast, right? Why not a savior? Why, recognizing all these other things are true, that we would die to protect others' rights, you believe the absolute truth is that we don't need a savior, that we need to search for God within, and in the process of that, be released from the cycle of reincarnation and merge back with God, right? All that being the case, why would it be wrong if a Sikh went away from that to Christianity? You would respect him, you would tolerate it, you wouldn't do anything negative to him, but what would you say to him to say, hey, I think what you're doing is not the best way to go?
That's a very difficult question to answer. I think, first, let's talk on the savior aspect.
Yeah, okay.
The whole point is, if you look at the analogy of Christ being the savior and the only path to God,
yeah,
Islam says the same thing about Muhammad.
Yeah.
So what makes you different from Muhammad?
Well, okay, well, I feel like that's an easy question.
Go ahead.
Muhammad does not claim to be God, and Muhammad makes no claim whatsoever about what's necessary to cover our sin. What Muhammad says is that, well, actually what Muhammad teaches is very similar to what you teach, except that he only gives you one lifetime to get there, and that is that your good works have to outweigh your bad works. And if that's the case, your good works outweigh your bad works, and they talk about how 10 bad works are equal in weight to one good work, you know, and they have ways to kind of do the math so that there's a likelihood of people actually getting there, right? But the key distinction, they say that Muhammad is the teacher, but they also think that on the final day, Christians are going to line up behind Jesus, Jews are going to line up behind Moses, and that everybody's going to line up behind their own prophet. So you'll line up behind the guru, right? And everybody lines up behind their own prophet, and they'll be judged according to whether or not their good works outweighed their bad works, which means it's based on each person somehow becoming holy, doing what's necessary to get there. And Christianity teaches you can't do that. We need a savior to bridge the gap.
No, I understand that, but I think the key concept here is we don't have that savior concept as Jesus Christ. That's a difference.
Right, but so why is that bad?
I'm not saying it is bad.
So if somebody left Sikhism
and became a Christian, we have nothing wrong with that.
You would not sit down with them and say, hey, I think that's probably not the best way.
I mean, by the way, there's a pretty famous person who did that, I found out. Haley Barbour, governor of South Carolina, was raised a Sikh and converted to Christianity at some point in her life. I'm not sure when, but I was trying to find famous Sikhs. I went online and looked for famous American Sikhs, and I didn't recognize any of the names they claimed to be famous except hers.
Yes, and I think it's Haley Barbour. I think it's a current governor of South Carolina. She's actually born a Sikh, and she's actually the niece of a friend of mine. So, but she married into a Christian family, and she's raised her kids as Christian. But I'm not sure if she's ever said, "I'm not a Sikh." Yeah, because we don't exclude anybody. I mean, we have Muslims who come to our faith. We have Christians who come to our chapel.
Mm. Okay, so I hadn't thought about that.
Real quick, by the way, you can hold that. Don't
Please.
Lose a thought.
Yeah,
hang on
you.
A thought.
Yep.
That's Jonathan Schweitzer, senior pastor at Crossroads Valley Chapel. I'm Troy Skinner. We're joined by Dr. Harpal Mangat, who is representing Sikhism. This is the Faith Debate on Fredericks News Radio, 930 WFMD. So you still have a thought?
I do. Can a Christian, according to a Sikh theology, can a Christian, without ever becoming a Sikh, break out of the cycle of reincarnation by doing enough good and by, you know, whatever he does, end up finding the God within and be released?
Sure. Equally well, too. I mean, you
so a Muslim could do that as well, without ever becoming a Sikh?
Yes. So you don't have to have all the 5Ks to be a Sikh. You're a disciple. I mean, you asked a question which is very personal to me. I have a cousin who was born a Sikh. He chose to become a Christian in L.A. His reasons for choosing to become a Christian was different from what you're saying, but we respect him for that. We encompass him, and he comes to both the Gurdwara and he goes to the church.
Mm. Now, there's one question about, you know, the historicity of Jesus actually living and walking on earth. You don't believe in the Trinity, so you don't accept that Jesus is God, or perhaps even that Jesus is the Son of God. That would be something the Sikhs would disagree with, I'm assuming. What about the death on the cross? Do Sikhs accept that Jesus died in an execution on a cross? And what about the resurrection?
That, I think, is not a question of a Sikh. It's a question of your personal belief.
I'm going to do the same thing I always do with you. What percentage of Sikhs would say that Christ did not rise from the dead? And what percentage would say he probably did? You think it's 50-50?
I'm not sure it's in 50-50. I think the key question really is understanding the concept of resurrection and understanding the importance of resurrection. I mean, in our faith, when our first guru died, it was very interesting. The Muslims claimed him to be one of theirs. The Hindus claimed to be one of theirs. And just before he died, his followers said, "Do you want to be buried like the Muslims, or do you want to be burnt like the Hindus?" Well, what happened is when he passed away, the next morning, two flowers are found there. We don't know what happened to the body.
Right. So that's a resurrection. So we're asking specifically about the idea that Christ rose and appeared to his followers in a body that ate food and could be touched. Do Sikhs believe that he actually rose from the dead or no?
I believe those who...
And what percentage?
I can't answer that question percentage-wise. I think the whole point is those who are knowledgeable about the concept of resurrection would agree with it, those who read about the resurrection. But a lot of Sikhs who may be in the Punjab don't have that knowledge base to answer that question.
So unlike Islam, a Sikh believes that it was actually Jesus on the cross who died, right?
Correct.
Okay. because Islam thinks that it was Judas who died, who made to look like Jesus.
Okay, so this is where I think the contrast between Christ as a savior and what his demands are as the only way to the Father is in Sikhism, which is probably the most sharp in terms of the contrast. I think that contrast is most sharp when we come to the question of suffering and the pain that we face in life, right? The Buddhist or Hindu idea of reincarnation is that we're stuck in this cycle of suffering, in that when we finally attain to godhood, we're released from the cycle of suffering, right? And the question is, if life is suffering, is it really good for a just God to let us suffer through 8.5 million lives just to become a human, and then another, you know, however many to keep trying to someday reach heaven or reach eternal life? Or would it be more just for him to say, look, what I want to know is your sincerity to recognize that you have sin, and if you're willing to recognize that, then I'm going to restore you to a place where you can live free of sin and live righteous by putting my spirit inside of you. Which way is more just?
I don't know the answer to that, but I think within our faith, we have the ability to correct your misdoings by doing good deeds.
I understand.
The question of the Savior approach is not there, so I can't comment on that.
It's interesting. You used the word misdoings. Is the word sin not a Sikh word that's used?
Well, I think when you use the word sin, it has a connotation, a biblical connotation. That's why I choose.
So what is the Sikh term? What do you use in your Sikh scriptures?
I'm not sure how to express that in English. But the whole point is I just use the, you know, politically correct phrase, misdoings.
Wrongdoing.
Okay.
And so there is an idea of misdoings, but those misdoings, like, for example, if I crash into your car, I could say, oh, man, I'm really sorry I did that. I apologize, right? But your car is still a wreck. Mm-hmm. Right, and so if I got no money, and I got no insurance, I got no grammar, I got no education.
You stole my line. I was going to say that.
So that's the secret between me and you. Say it before you say it. So then you're stuck with nothing, with no payment to make right what I've done wrong. You know, in the Jewish mindset, you don't just pay back. If you stole something, but you pay back plus 5%, right? Because there's a measure of pain and suffering and difficulty for having to go without, right? And so the question of making things right when you don't have any way to make it right, who's going to make it right?
Well, I think in that context, the way I look at it, if you can't make it right, obviously there's a loss. But the whole point is, you know, the pain and suffering you go through, God will give you something more better in a different way.
So God will reward you somehow for going through the pain and suffering. So there's a measure of grace. It's interesting that many times in our discussion, I think we're coming to the end here, you've mentioned that there's just not that concept in Sikhism, so you don't know how to speak to it. And yet, you're such a thinker in general, which is why I liked you immediately as my doctor. You know, you're such a thinker in general that I'm surprised you haven't taken more time to consider, you know, the concepts of some of these other religions, you know, and just consider, well, okay, I wonder if that's an important concept or not.
I'm too busy being a doctor. That's a problem.
If you would eat better and get some more exercise, you'd free him up. It's your fault, John.
There's a little bit of motivation for
speaking me. About eating better and eating more and all that sort of stuff. We've got a couple of minutes, and I want, because we're just days away, so I want to give you a chance to put a plug in for Frederick 48 one more time in like 90 seconds or less.
Okay, so we're going to be there all week. You know, with we're going to be there later on Blaine's show on Thursday and Friday, and on Bob Miller's show on Thursday and Friday. We're going to be talking about how we are inviting the entire community of Frederick to come together on September 26th and 27th, Thursday and Friday, and to go online to frederick48.org and pick one of the organizations that is represented. that you feel like is best positioned to help those that are either dealing with at-risk youth or homelessness, or those overwhelmed by medical bills. You pick which one you think is the best organization and give to them generously, and then go on Facebook, go on Twitter, go on your email, go tell all your friends to go to that website and to give as well. And let's see if we can't exceed what we did last year, which is $300,000 for those organizations.
And you don't have to wait 4 days to start giving. Go there now.
You could go right now.
www.frederick48.org. Frederick48.org. Make sure it's not spelled out like 48 spelled out in letters.
Yeah,
it's
the number.
The numbers 4 and 8.
That's correct.
Frederick48.org. Not .com, not .net, not .edu.
In the school system, every single child was sent home with a flyer about this. We have Boy Scouts, the Girl Scouts. We got Frederick Community College. We have Hood College. We have Catholics, Muslims, Jews, Christians. We have atheists. We have the business community, Chamber of Commerce, Rotary Clubs, everybody working together so that we can sweep more people into the giving pool in Frederick. So the people that don't know how to give to these organizations or know what's happening will both know and be able to give, so that we can improve what we're doing on behalf of those that are most hurting in Frederick.
Don't just dip your toe into the giving pool. Dive right in. The water's fine.
The water's good.
Jonathan Schweitzer, senior pastor at Crossroads Valley Chapel and the tip of the spear on Frederick48.org. I want to thank the good doctor, Dr. Harpo Mangat, for being on, representing Sikhism these last 4 weeks.
Well done.
It's been an education. I'm really thrilled that we had the opportunity to do this. Maybe we'll do it again sometime. I want to thank our sponsors, Putman Plumbing and Heating, How Can We Make You Smile, BMC Insurance, and who am I forgetting? Cruise Holidays. Drew a mental blank there. Apologize, Cruise Holidays. I'll give you another plug. Cruise Holidays, sponsoring this program. What have I been reading lately? Well, given with what we were talking about, this is appropriate. B.B. Warfield's The Person and Work of Christ.
Uh-huh.
I would recommend that. Check it out. Go on Amazon. You can find it. It's out there. All right. Till next week. Thanks for listening. God bless.